So we're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 5. And text on the board is 146, but I'll start with 142 just to deal with the subject matter nicely.
Ekaliswari Krishna Orisa Babritcha Yare Yocha Nachayse Taiche Karinrecha.
Translation. Lord Krishna alone is the supreme controller, and all others are his servants. They dance as he makes them do so.
E mata chaitanya gosai ekala ishware arasabe parishad keha vakinkar.
Thus, Lord Chaitanya is also the only controller. All others are his associates or servants.
Guru Varga Nityananda Advaita Charya Shivasade Oriyat Lagu Samarya Shabe Parishade Shabe Lila Rasahaya Shabe Laya Nijakarya Shade Gora Raya.
Translation. His elders, such as Lord Nityananda Advaita Charya and Shivas Thakur, as well as his other devotees, whether his juniors, equals, or superiors, all are his associates who help him in his pastimes. Lord Gauranga fulfills his aims with their help. Then, text 146.
Advaita charja nichananda dui anga dui jana laila prabhur yata kichuranga.
That actually is not lana, but becomes laya, because there's a little thing over the N, and then it becomes laya. And not lana, but law, because it's bongla, loya. That's okay. So, translation, Sri Advaita Acharya and Srila Nityananda Prabhu, who are plenary parts of the Lord, are his principal associate. With these two, the Lord performs his pastimes in various ways.
Advaita Acharya Gosai Sakshatishwara Prabhu Guru Kari Manitino Takinkare.
Lord Advaita Acharya is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Lord Chaitanya accepts him as his preceptor, Advaita Acharya is the servant of the Lord. Purport. Lord Chaitanya always offered respects to Advaita Prabhu, as he would to his father, because Advaita was even older than his father. Yet Advaita Prabhu always considered himself a servant of Lord Chaitanya. Sri Advaita Prabhu and Ishwara Puri, Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master, were both disciples of Madhavendra Puri, who was also the spiritual master of Nityananda Prabhu. Thus Advaita Prabhu, as Lord Chaitanya's spiritual uncle, was always to be respected, because one should respect one's spiritual master's godbrothers as one respects one's spiritual master. Because of all these considerations, Sri Advaita Prabhu was superior to Lord Chaitanya, yet Advaita Prabhu considered himself Lord Chaitanya's subordinate. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we're dealing with one topic, which is called Sadachar, or the behavior of a saintly person, which is also sometimes translated as Vaishnav etiquette. So this is very important in our life, because it is through the behavior prescribed for a Vaishnava that gradually we are developing the qualities of a Vaishnava. It begins with behavior, external. Although one sometimes says that, yes, but I may act humble, but I am not really feeling humble. It is recommended that a Vaishnava should act in a humble way. But then what if one is not really humble in the heart? Well, I would say there is such a thing as acting humble, and one could say there's another thing, taking the humble position, and the two are not the same. Because acting humble could mean that one is showing also to everyone that he's humble. He's showing his humility. Right? I'm so humble. But taking the humble position is actually not showing any humility, is simply, it's not taking any credit. Just like one of Prabhupada's disciples who told Prabhupada once, I'm the most fallen, and Prabhupada who said, you're not the most of anything. And in the same way, Satsarup Maharaj once said, I am nothing. And Prabhupada said, you're not nothing, you're something, but you don't know what you are. So, in this way, Prabhupada also saw this tendency that when we are coming to the Vaishnav platform and we're trying to behave like Vaishnavas, then, oh, I'm so fallen, oh, I have no qualification. And this is a nice sentiment, but this is actually not really the position of humility. It is more humble to just humbly and quietly serve and to not say anything, right? I'm so fallen, I'm just such a wretch, and put ourselves in the spotlight rather than quietly and humbly just rendering service and thinking, yes, I am so fallen, I have no qualification, but not proclaiming it. Right. So, Vaishnava, it takes the humble position. Raghunath Das Goswami said that by nature, I will always take the lowest service. And only when the Vaishnavas ask me to do a higher service, then what can I do? Then I must follow their order. Right. So in this way, Chaitanya Charitamrita is showing us Vaishnav behavior. And here we're seeing the relationships that exist between different generations of devotees. Just like in material relationships, there are different generations. Also, spiritually speaking, there are different generations in the disciplic succession. So the God brothers are those who are initiated by the same spiritual master. Some are senior, some are junior, like elder brothers, younger brothers or sisters. But that is still within the same family, right, on the same level. So it is said that amongst God brothers and sisters, there is an equal status. And one can, therefore, under normal circumstances, not accept service from a God brother. That's not appropriate. That the God brother service. Of course we can. God brothers help each other a little bit. That's another matter. But that the God brother would become the servant, that's not acceptable. You cannot say, I accept my God brother as my servant. No. That's not possible. You are the servant of our spiritual master. We are together serving our spiritual master. You are the property of my spiritual master. How can I take the property of the spiritual master? I cannot take his bed. I cannot take his seat. I cannot take his plate, his cup. I cannot take his servant because it is his property. So, no, you don't serve me. You serve our spiritual master. That is one consideration. And one must... Then we see that the generation of one's spiritual master, all the God brothers of the spiritual master must be treated with great respect, like the spiritual master. It may not be that they have the same, that we have the same intimacy and the same relationship as we have with the spiritual master, but some respect must be given. One cannot just ignore that seniority. Anyway, it is not so difficult because we are used to these relationships in our family already. Right? In family life, it is also like that. One is not supposed to disrespect an uncle, right? Although the uncle doesn't have the same authority as your father, generally speaking, right? In normal situations. The uncle has less authority over us, and therefore the relationship is more distant, and but there is some level of respect. So in this way, in spiritual relationships, this is also there. We are not adhering to the modern day philosophy. Everybody is equal. Everybody is all the same. And you are no better than me. And that's all false. And everybody who is posing to be better than someone else should be pulled down. This is not spiritual life. In spiritual life, We are always looking at who is senior to us, who is somehow or other, and somehow or other taken up more responsibility on the spiritual path. And one must offer respects. So this is important in this this exchange between Advaita Acharya and Lord Chaitanya. But besides this detail, the message of the entire chapter is that actually Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we see that everyone was his servant. Ami Chaitanya Dasya Muni. Chaitanya Muni. That means, I am the servant of Lord Chaitanya. Advaita Acharya was calling out, I am the servant of Lord Chaitanya. I am the servant of Lord Chaitanya. I am the servant of Lord Chaitanya. Again and again. That he would repeat in great ecstasy. And it is a fact that everyone is the servant of the Lord. And the greatest ecstasy is experienced in that. That is the greatest thing. There is no more wonderful position than to be the servant. And the more we are the servant, the more wonderful our spiritual life becomes. It is not easy to be the servant, because to be a servant of Lord Chaitanya means we must be the servant of the servants of Lord Chaitanya. And to be the servant of the servants of Lord Chaitanya, we must give up our stubbornness, which is very difficult for any conditioned soul. Holland is a country which is known to be very stubborn. We have a reputation for being stubborn. Yeah? And it is true, we certainly are proud of it, right? That we are stubborn, right? We hold it in high esteem, right? And if anybody tells us something we don't like, we have no problem with it. We let him know, right? We let him know straight in the face, you know. Forget it, okay? Just forget it. I'm not, right? N-O-T, not going to do it, okay? No way. You can push whatever you like. I'm not your dog, you know. Do it yourself. Right? Very Dutch, right? So, but every nationality has its own way of being stubborn. Like when we were in Belgium, we saw that whereas the Dutch say, I'm not going to do it, a Belgian never says anything, he just doesn't do it. So he's also stubborn. Right? He's also stubborn. So like that, there are different ways of being stubborn. Right? But every living being has his stubbornness. So it is very difficult to surrender. So therefore, we should not think that we are above it. And we should not think that this quality, which is detrimental to spiritual advancement, is not in us. That we don't have resistance to being a servant. We do. We do. Say, no, I'm doing so much service. Yes, but only the service we choose to do. And real servant means do anything that is asked to do. Right? So you can do a lot of service all day, but if it's only the service you choose to do and want to do, then still we're not just a servant in the sense of just being totally ready to place ourselves in the hands of superiors. But unless we do, we will not really go through to the deeper levels of Madhyam Adhikari. If we are not surrendering to, not placing ourselves in the hands of Vaishnavas, of senior Vaishnavas, we will remain, we will maintain Kanista tendencies. The Kanista tendencies are weak faith, are meaning that we are remaining fixed on our own ideas what to do in this material world, and therefore we are remaining fixed in our own attachments to our own position. And this is kanista. This is kanista. A kanista has weak faith and therefore places material, gives more importance to his material position than to his position of surrender to Krishna. That is kanista. So most of us are kanista, are weak devotees who cannot surrender very well. But the injunction of the acharyas is that at least we should come to the Madhyamadhikari platform, which means really the surrendered platform of humility, and where one becomes the instrument in the hands of one's authority. That doesn't mean that we have to change our nature. We're seeing that amongst the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were different personalities with different natures. Like Jagadananda was, Jagadananda Pandit was not the most submissive personality. Jagadananda Pandit was a very hot-headed person. And one day he had brought very nice scented oil, which had been refined very much. It was a very high quality sandalwood oil and other oils, and he brought this for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be used in massage. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "How can I use this perfumed oil? I'm a sannyasi, right? I mean, it's no question. I'm going to walk around with perfumed oil. Huh? What will people think if I walk around like this? My whole reputation will be spoiled. It's impossible. I cannot accept it. But just take it to the temple and offer it to Lord Jagannath, and they can burn it in the lamps of the deities, and it will give a very nice fragrance in the temple, and in that way it is all used nicely in the service of the Lord. Please send this message to Jagadananda." So the message was sent to Jagadananda, and Jagadananda became very upset, very, very angry. And Jagadananda then did not give the oil, but brought the big pots with oil to the place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying, went into the house, and just took that oil and smashed it, took the pot, smashed it on the ground, and another one, smash, smash, and made a huge mess, and then just walked away. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, like, "Why did you smash the oil?" he simply said, "What oil? I did not bring any oil. Who says I brought oil?" And that was the last thing he said, right, and walked away. And it said that he was very upset. He would fast. He didn't eat. And for days he wasn't eating. And finally Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged that he would cook for him. He said, "You know, I need someone to cook. I need Jagadananda to cook." So then Jagadananda, who was lying on bed and fasting, came up from his bed and cooked for the Lord. Right? And then Lord Chaitanya said, "Okay, you cook for me, but then also you take my remnants." And then Jagadananda cooked, and the Lord ate, and Govinda offered the remnants, but Jagadananda said, "Yes, I'll eat later." So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu still sent his servant back to check if Jagadananda had really eaten. So they had that kind of a relationship. So this very rebellious kind of devotee. But still totally dedicated in devotional service. Always thinking of service to the Lord and ready to do anything for the Lord. So different natures may be there. It doesn't matter in Krishna consciousness if we are stubborn, right? We can be stubborn, but we must be stubborn for Krishna. We must be stubborn about chanting our rounds. We must be stubborn in preaching. As that stubbornness, we just engage it in the service of Krishna. So this is nice in Krishna consciousness. We don't have to become different persons. We don't have to give up who we are. Right? Now I'm about to enter into the Hare Krishna movement, and I'm looking over my shoulder to who I was yesterday, and with a little sadness in my heart, I'm saying goodbye. You know,
I used to love you, right? But I must go now.
And then you look at your old self, right? And walk away, and you just go and think, oh boy, what's going to happen? This is a total misconception. Krishna consciousness is not like that. In Krishna consciousness, we stay who we are. We remain who we are, but we learn how to engage all these things in the service of Krishna. That doesn't mean that we can, that in the beginning we do not need to temporarily put some things on the shelf. We may have to put some things on the shelf. Like I was playing guitar 8 hours a day. I put it on before I joined, and I put it on the shelf when I joined. Right? The first Sunday feast, I had a performance, playing along with the Maha Mantra. I did a good... did some good riffs there in the holy name, yeah, and it was appreciated by the more by the visitors than by the devotees. But then I could see this is not really this doesn't really do it, you know. This is not really enough for me if I can't really express my whole thing. So I forget it. Put it on the shelf. So some things went on the shelf. Some things went out the window, right? What can be done, you know? Such is life, right? Such is life. But in the end, if somebody would ask me, so, you've been a devotee now for so many years, you know, so have you really changed? I can only say, no, I haven't changed a bit, right? I'm still the same. I'm still the same. And in one sense, I'm afraid... I once had a discussion with Ravindra Sarup about this point, and the conclusion was that, is there anybody who ever changes, right? Not really. We don't change. We learn something, right? So, you know, with time, we don't really change. We just learn that certain things work better than other things and so on. So we learn, right? But we don't really change. We're still the same person. We just learn to deal in a different way, express it in a different way, and our vision grows, but we stay the same, but we learn how to connect it all with Krishna. So this is a great relief. We don't have to change. We don't have to, after all, become a different person. We can stay the same, but we are just learning how to use our qualities better, our nature better, in a different way. And this is Krishna consciousness. So therefore, Krishna consciousness is a natural process. Although in the beginning there may be some adjustments, because we're not used to be a servant. We're used to be the center of the attention, of the enjoyment, and we used to think in terms of our own advantages, our own position, and so on. That is our normal thought. And we bring that with us in spiritual life. And it stays with us all along. As long as we are not in great, great ecstasy, then what can we do? In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is described how Ishvara Puri, the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was traveling when he was a younger devotee with his own spiritual master with a whole group of other disciples. So the spiritual master of Ishvara Puri was Madhavendra Puri, the grand spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Madhavendra Puri was such a devotee, such an extraordinary devotee, one cannot imagine how great Madhavendra Puri was. So it is said that once Madhavendra Puri was traveling with a group of his disciples, and Ishvara Puri was also there. And then Madhavendra Puri met Lord Nityananda. And Madhavendra Puri had traveled all over the world. And he had never found anyone who was as deeply absorbed in love of God as he was. Until he met Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda had traveled all over the world. And he had never found a devotee who was so deeply absorbed in love of God as he was until he met Madhavendra Puri. So when these two met each other, the ecstasy was just inconceivable. They couldn't believe it. Said, at last, I met a person who has as much love for Krishna as I have. And they embraced each other, and they just rolled on the ground together, and they kicked, and they just went totally wild, and the disciples were looking, what is happening to Guru Maharaj, right? What is happening to our spiritual master? They were in total amazement to see how their spiritual master was rolling over the ground like this in the greatest ecstasy. And it was said, yes, there are many devotees who are all very nice, who render a lot of service, who have given their whole life, who have given up everything they had and offered it all to the Lord. But do they have love of God? Did they actually develop love of God? So it's not enough. Even after many years, when we may think, well, you know, I mean, I've been a devotee now for a long time. I'm an experienced devotee now, right? I definitely, know what I'm doing, right? To some extent at least, you know, right? When that is happening. But do we have love of God? And if we don't have love of God, it means that we too are still not really in the mood of being the servant of the Lord. That we are still not fully in the game for the pleasure of the Lord, but that there is also some pleasure for us, also some importance, what we need, what we want, and therefore we are resisting and cannot become just the humble instrument in the hands of the Vaishnavas. So this is such a difficult thing, especially in this age, to become a servant. It is so unknown to us to be servant. It is so contradictory to everything we've ever done, everything we've ever desired. But yet, that is where the happiness is. So therefore, it's not so quick that we can, one starts the process of devotional service, but still not happy. Right? Still not happy. Right? So then, and one goes on for some time and still not happy. Then, does it work or doesn't it work? Doubt begins to eat our heart and haunt our mind. Does it really work? Yes, it does. Right? But if we are holding on to our own gain, our own enjoyment, now in Krishna consciousness, then we'll progress slow. And we won't go fast. So we must become servant more and more. And for that, we will sacrifice as much as we can. This is the message of the fifth chapter of the Adi Lila, to be the servant of the Supreme Lord. The next verse says, I cannot describe the truth of Advaita Acharya. He has delivered the entire world by making Krishna descend. Lord Nityananda Sarup formerly appeared as Lakshman and served Ram as his younger brother. Yes, so Lord Nityananda also formerly appeared as the younger brother. Now he has appeared as the elder brother. So the Lord, but he always appears again and again to serve the Lord in various ways. This is one of my favorite details in the Ramayana, where Hanuman is meeting the two brothers Ram and Lakshman for the first time while they are in South India looking for Sita. So they are incognito, they are not now dressed, or they're not really acting as great princes, although they are looking aristocratic. Right? And they are meeting Hanuman, and Hanuman is asking them who they are. And Lakshman is speaking. And Lakshman is saying that here is Lord Ramachandra. He is the crown jewel of the Raghu dynasty. He is the Yuvaraj, the prince who will ascend the throne. He is the greatest wielder of weapons and so many things like that. He's glorifying Lord Ram. And then he says, he could have said, and I'm his brother, which makes him share in the glory, of course. If you first, you know, glorify someone, and I'm his brother, from the great dynasty, he's such a wonderful, and I'm his brother, that would have, you know, then you'll say, yeah, and I'm his brother. But he didn't say that. He said, and I am his servant. That's what he said. He didn't introduce himself as his brother, as his servant. And this is so nice, that Lakshman takes that mood. He doesn't claim any fame, doesn't claim any glory. He simply, yes, I'm his servant. So how difficult it is to learn this. How difficult. How much, but this is what it is. And the nice thing is that sometimes in the beginning when one joins, one's mood is better than after a long time. Yes, it is so. When we first join, we are so sincere. Yeah? We are so sincere. Later on, the sincerity becomes a little bit, well, you know, you look a left, you look a right, and you see, well, they are also not so surrendered, you know. So why would I be so surrendered if nobody is so surrendered? So, you know, I'll surrender as much as everybody else. I remember that one of the first lectures I heard afterwards, I really thanked the speaker, you know. I came up to the speaker and I said, thank you very much, you know, for these very important, you know, these things you said really mean a lot to me. They were very important and they really touched my heart, right? I didn't just walk up to someone after the lecture and say something, well, nice lecture, right? As sometimes people do, right? But actually, really appreciated it, not as a lecture, but as spiritual instruction. Wow, you know. Nowadays, right, after so many lectures, I can sit through a lecture and, okay, nice lecture. But to get that mood again of saying, yes, how kind that you are sharing these realizations with me is really the spirit we want. This spirit we need. So it's difficult. It's very difficult to be a servant. In the beginning, in spiritual life, we begin with a good mood, but we are naive. We don't have much knowledge about spiritual life. But gradually, we gain more and more experience about spiritual life, and we know better what to do, what not to do, what to expect, what not to expect. We become more mature in our understanding of what spiritual life is. But the task ahead of us, actual surrender, still remains. It can take many years before one finally says, okay, I'll do it. It can take 50 years of hearing the philosophy and understanding it, and until one finally says, now I'll do it. This is so amazing, right? That we are living in a Krishna conscious atmosphere. We're hearing every day what we should be doing. We're chanting. We're following regulative principles. We wear devotional dress, eat devotional diet, associate with devotees. As far as the world is concerned, you couldn't be more Hare Krishna than we are. But actually, if you really look deep down inside, we still have not surrendered. We still have not surrendered. We still manage internally to resist. We still have not become fully the servant of the Lord. So this is a point for introspection, and where we can all look inside our heart. Lectures like this are for the purpose of making us stop for a moment, where we sit down and think, how much does this apply to me? And and what can I do, at least, to go a step further and to make a substantial change. It does take this, this spirit. And therefore, I'm taking advantage of this chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita to call for the mood of being a servant, because this is clearly the essence of the entire chapter, that it is the most wonderful thing to be the servant of the Lord. So we should, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharmam Parichaya Mamakam Saranam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Isyami Masuchaha. Just surrender unto me. Give up all varieties of activity or belief. I will deliver you from the reactions of all sinful activities. Do not fear. He says at the end, do not fear. So we should not fear. Krishna knows how afraid we are to surrender. Krishna knows. Therefore he says, do not fear. Do not fear. Krishna knows very well. So, somehow or other, we need to take another step, and then another, and another, and step by step, progress. So even if after a long time we are still not humble, at least let us get more serious about taking the humble position. Right? Not acting humble, but taking the humble position. Then we can again make further advancement. And then the next challenge will arise. There's always a next step to take for everyone. There's always a challenge. Everyone is, it's not that, you know, there is one person in this room who has a big step to take, right? To progress in life. It's not that there's one or two persons in the room who now have to take a big step in life. No. Everyone has to take a big step forward in life. Everyone has that challenge. There is a big step ahead of us. And this is what Krishna is calling for. When he says Sarva Dharmam Parichaya, take a big step, do not fear. Not a little one. Of course we say, well, anyway, if you can't take a big step, then take a little step, right? At least do something. So, you know, it's not a movement which is only accepting people who are ready to make big steps. No, no, little steps also nice. Anything you do is nice. But let's go for the big step and get the big mercy. This is nice. So I think I should ask for questions now. Right. So, if you have someone who is a disciple of, who is your guru's godbrother or even another generation above that, right, then, but he's behaving totally contradictory to the Krishna conscious principles. Well, then you at least remember apichet sudra charo bhajate mama bhak sadureva samantavya samyagvasito hisaha, that even if a devotee engages in abominable activity, he's still saintly because he's still a devotee, right? In his heart. So it doesn't mean that we have to put him on a vyasasan and offer him garlands and guru puja and everything, but it just means that we realize he's not an ordinary person. Something is there. Deep inside, he knows Krishna. And deep inside he knows his duty, although he's not following. He knows it. And he thinks about it. He has a vision, quite a vision. So like that, we sometimes meet a very senior devotee. I can think of some in Amsterdam, who are very senior from the very beginning when Krishna consciousness started, but who are not following the regulative principles. And they live the Amsterdam life. And I don't have to give a purport to what that means. And sometimes they come. And we will maybe not let them give the Sunday feast lecture or a Bhagavatam lecture. But still we know they're old devotees. Old devotees. And we know they're devotees. They are. That's why they come sometimes, because they can't forget Krishna. And we know that they... And sometimes it comes out, that like... They know something. Because they're old devotees, old disciples of Prabhupada, they're not following, but they know that certain things are very dear to Prabhupada, and they can never forget. And when they see that it's not followed, they may sometimes say, why are they not following this? And then you see, he still has love for Prabhupada. It has not gone. It's still there. He still cannot forget that this was important to Prabhupada, and I can just not. So he has love for Prabhupada. Love for Krishna. So that should be remembered then. And in this way, you still treat him like not like an ordinary. Some respect is given. Some consideration is given. Respect sometimes means just consideration for the person. Like some consideration. Any other question?
Less.
You may partake in the glory, but can you do, you have obviously some connection, right? But, Lakshman was with Ram, and there was no doubt that he was partaking in the glory of being in the entourage of Ram. Anyone could see, he's with Ram. But still, he gave the most humble meaning to his role he could probably give, right? He didn't say, I'm his partner. He simply said, no. I'm his servant. So it was quite humble. And it wasn't just lip service either. He was acting as the servant also. He was taking not only to impress Hanuman, look how humble I am, I'm saying I'm the servant. He was really living that life of the servant of Lord Ram. So, again and again we are reminded that we must be servant and not master. And very difficult. Very difficult. We're too stubborn. I mean, I'm speaking for myself included. Too stubborn. Fish. Any other question? Must be some more questions.
I was reading that the sadhu, he tried to gain surrender. If Krishna sends some food, I eat, otherwise I starve.
Ah, not even the puri.
Yeah, but then there's also sometimes say we should let Krishna serve us.
Well, this is ajagara vritti, right? This vow of the python. So that, a great devotee sometimes is saying that, I'm not going to spend my time anymore with making arrangements for eating. I'm just going to leave it up to to some arrangement. Krishna is providing anyway, right? Everything that I have in this world is provided by Krishna. What can I say? So in that way, I'm actually getting the provision of Krishna, from Krishna anyway. But this time, I will just not do anything for it. Rather, I will use all my time for worship of Krishna. And if something to eat comes, I'll eat. And if nothing to eat comes, I won't eat. As simple as that. So one can only... We cannot avoid taking, in a sense, service from Krishna. Because Krishna is the supplier. He's the maintainer. He maintains us no matter what we do. So Krishna is serving all living entities, like a parent is serving the child. What can we do? We can't escape that. We're living within Krishna's world. So whatever we eat, it's the arrangement of Krishna. It's the service of Krishna, in one sense. So that the sadhu understands. But then such a sadhu says, no, I will not work for my eating anymore. I will just simply glorify the Supreme Lord. I mean, it's wonderful, actually. Very courageous vow. Right? And Madhavendra Puri was actually following that vow. He was following that vow. And somehow or other, some lady came from Vrindavan and brought him some milk. Or sent a boy with some milk. Right? And that boy happened to be Krishna. But he followed that vow. So we can see that in the past, there have been devotees who did amazing things. And we are really not ready for that yet, right? I mean, that's a vow. I mean, I think that I'm not yet ready for that vow. I haven't thought about that. I mean, I haven't thought about doing that, right? Just stop eating and just chant the holy name. And just engage in devotion and leave it up to whatever happens. Right? Yeah. It's just like, you know. You know, it's like very heavy. Right? And then it's inconceivable to us. You know, we're having a whole movement, temples everywhere, prasadam everywhere. We're having so much facility. But then Madhavendra Puri had nothing, no place to stay. No arrangement for food, nothing, just staying somewhere and just not asking for anything to eat. And if something suitable was offered at the right time, he would accept. Otherwise, simply fast and just go on glorifying Krishna. Not being agitated, but being totally, ecstatically absorbed in remembering Krishna, glorifying Krishna. I mean, what a level of consciousness. Amazing. Cannot be imitated.
Rupa Goswami wanted to make a feast for Sanatana Goswami, then he got chastised. You know, because then Radharani came and then he was chastised. We don't want Radharani to serve us. We don't want Krishna to serve us in that way.
But Krishna is always serving us. We cannot do anything. And in this case, it is said like, see, the idea is this, that I will simply do the greatest work. So it's not that I'm serving Krishna. Right? I'm just serving Krishna by glorifying Krishna. Then I need the body to do it. And then if the body needs to be maintained, then okay, you know, like, I depend on Krishna's arrangements, because the body is an arrangement of Krishna which depends on others' arrangements of Krishna, called food and drink, right? So what can be done, you know? So those arrangements of Krishna may come or may not come. If they don't come, no problem to me. I'll just die, and then Krishna can decide what he will do with me. And if he wants to send something to eat so that this body keeps on functioning, okay, that's good, because I will do what I can to use it to glorify Krishna 24 hours a day and put it out in the world. So this was Madhavendra Puri's mood. So he took a higher engagement than arranging for bread and butter or food and drink. Anything? No. You're ready for it. After... Now we're so entangled, you know, in a job and like so many things, right? And then just see, Madhavendra Puri didn't even get involved in the entanglement of arranging something to eat. Didn't bother. No? Something comes, it comes. Quite amazing. Not to be imitated, but still, we can remember it and take a little bit of the spirit of Madhavendra Puri. Be a little, say, well, you know, some things you just leave them up to Krishna. So a devotee is has a relationship with Krishna like a parent, you know. I mean, what can we do? We're dependent upon him. We're dependent on Krishna. What can we, in all respects, we cannot help it. We cannot be independent from Krishna. So what can we do? We must be dependent on Krishna. So this is not inappropriate. Okay. Thank you very much. We'll stop now. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.